So, now I've been here before. I don't know how many times I have preached, but in the last probably 7 or 8 times, the focus has been on discipleship. Okay? On what discipleship is all about. And I know that every one of you who have heard me remember everything I said, right? Yeah. Of course. Just like I can't remember everything that I said. But today, I would like for us to continue to learn from Jesus how to make disciples the way Jesus did. And there are two things that stand out, and we're going to look at it in just a minute in Mark chapter 3. There are two things that stand out in the way that Jesus made disciples, and it was what's been summarized as invitation or nearness and challenge. Invitation and challenge, okay? And we're going to talk about all those. Now, I don't know how many of you are sports fans. I like sports. I like American football. I like soccer. I like ice hockey. I like basketball. And those type things. But if you wanted to learn, let's say, to be a good basketball player, and you got word that there was a good coach, and you went to that coach, and he could or she could explain all the different theories of how you run plays on offense, about how you set up a good defense and working as a team, and goes into all this detail about how on paper it could work. And then after they explained all that, that coach said, well, now you're ready to play basketball. What would we say? No. I have to be trained. I don't know. Just because I have head knowledge or partial head knowledge, that does not mean that I can play basketball. I have to be coached. I have to be trained. I have to make mistakes and be corrected. That's all part of learning to basketball, learning to play basketball, or learning to play sports. And when it comes to discipleship, Jesus, the Messiah, is the master disciple maker. When we focus on Jesus and what he did and learn from him, which has been our purpose in this series on discipleship, but it's also the purpose for our life to learn from Jesus, we learn about making disciples the way that Jesus did. Now, Jesus was training his followers in the short amount of time that he was here on earth, or for the last 3 years he was here on earth. He was equipping them and training them to continue his work after he died and rose again and then ascended to the Father. His purpose was to equip his apostles, equip his followers to do the things that he did and to continue propagating the good news of the kingdom of God, which was the center of his message, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I had a whole message on that about the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he was equipping them to do this. But how did he do that? Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 3. I'm just going to take just a short amount of scripture today and look at it. That's just packed full. John chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 13, reading at verse 13. But just so you have a little bit more of the context, this is still kind of at the beginning of his ministry. And he had done healings. He had healed people. And that was starting to get attention. In fact, so much attention that right before in chapter 3, starting at verse 7 of Mark, the crowds started going after him. The large groups of people wanted to be with him. And you know the amazing thing when we look at Jesus and his ministry and what his purpose was? Jesus wasn't in really interested in the crowds, in the sense of, oh, I got to have as many people around me as possible. He was focused on training a small group of women and men to go out and be the disciple makers like he was a disciple maker. So let's look at verse 13 of Mark chapter 3. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Let me pray with us. Jesus, you prayed, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. You prayed that to the Father, and we pray that for ourselves right now, Lord. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Notice here that Jesus called out a limited number of people to be close to him. Now, in Luke's account of Jesus calling the apostles, it says he spent the whole night in prayer before he did that. He prayed all night about to have wisdom from the Father before he made them. So he went up on the mountainside. He didn't focus on the crowds at this point. He went up on the mountainside, and he let it be known, I want you to be with me. Nearness, invitation, closeness is where discipleship begins. That they might be with him. And the foundation of Jesus' discipleship was letting a group of women and men, people close to him, so that they would get to know him personally. They would learn to feel and to understand how he ticks and what his motivation was really all about and why he was doing what he did. And this is foundational. And unfortunately, in the churches, particularly in the Western world, but in many churches, this personal dimension of being disciples together is missing. In many churches, we have programs, and it seems like the goal of the church is just to keep all the balls in the air like a juggler, to keep all the programs of the church together and going. And yet Jesus called people to him to be with him, to be near him. In this personal dimension of being close to Jesus and of being close to the people who we are discipling or who is discipling us is something that cannot be left on the side. It's foundational. One note here in my study Bible says, the training of the 12 included not only instruction and practice in various forms of ministry, but also continuous association in intimate fellowship with Jesus himself. If we want to learn to make disciples the way that Jesus did, the Jesus way, it's got to begin by allowing a limited group of people to get near to us. And that's a hard, scary thing to do, because you can't keep the show up for Sunday morning service and hide behind a mask. People see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet that is absolutely essential if we want to be disciples and if we want to make disciples who also make disciples, of letting people close enough. That's nearness, or what some have called invitation. And don't confuse invitation, inviting people to a special event, although that can be a good thing too. We're talking about invitation to be near to us, of opening up our hearts and our homes and our lives to a limited number of people. Now, it has to be limited, and Jesus limited it himself. His focus wasn't on the crowds. His focus was on the small group, and then the small group multiplied out and ministered to the crowds. Now, when we think of learning, okay, we are very, very influenced from our cultural understanding of what learning is. And what is that cultural understanding? Well, it comes from the Greeks. And it's about understanding information, taking in information, and then being able to give out that information back correctly. Our whole school systems are built on that. Our universities are built on that. The professor says something, we take good notes, we memorize it, we think it through and everything, and then the test is, can I give that information back correctly or not? And if you can give the information back correctly and get an INSA, you know it. Well, maybe. Because the world, the cultural understanding of learning at the time of Jesus and before was a Jewish Hebrew understanding of learning. And that was based not on information alone, although that was a component of it. That understanding of learning was when I can put it into practice. And the rabbis, and Jesus was a rabbi, they would have a group of people following them, and the rabbi would not say, hey, Einza, you get an A plus on that test because you gave the right information. They weren't interested in that as the end point. They were interested in how their followers lived, about whether they would put into practice what the rabbi was modeling for them and teaching them about. That was the litmus test. That was what it was all about. Not about giving just alone, gaining information and being able to give out information back. And when we have that understanding, that begins to affect how we interact with other people. It begins to change how we look at our home Bible studies. Now, I've been in a lot of Bible studies or home groups. What do you call them? Life groups? Or what do you, I don't know what you call them. All kinds of different names for them. Usually in our Western world churches, evangelical churches, Bible study is about, of course, fellowship, of being with some people, which is a good thing. but it's also about looking at a scripture passage and then giving our opinions on what we think it means. And that's usually where it ends. But if our understanding is this Jesus understanding of what it means to be a learner and a follower of Jesus, we won't stop at just having opinions or debates about what a particular passage of Scripture means. We, in our Bible studies and in our interaction with one another, are going to say, what is God telling me showing me to do through this? What is God showing us, not just me, but us as a church through this? And then the coming together for the Bible studies is going to be a checking up on one another, whether we did what God said to us the week before, a couple days before. There will be a time of checking up on one another, even during the week, and just say, hey, you had mentioned that you really feel like you need to ask forgiveness from a coworker of yours because of the way you talk to them at work. Just wanted to let you know, I prayed for you, and I want to know, how did that go? Did you do it? How did that go? You see, discipleship, the Jesus way, has to do with how we live, not about what we know. And we've put everything in the Western world, just about everything, in the know intellectual basket. And we've left out how we live. But Jesus is making disciples, training them to make disciples themselves when he is gone. And he is allowing people to get near to him, to understand how he ticks, to understand his motivations, to see how he does things, so that they will let a small group of people close to them as well. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have a small group of people that you allow close to you, that close? If we want to be disciples who make disciples, and we are told, go make disciples, that Jesus said that's what the church of Jesus should be all about disciple making. If we want to be disciples who make disciples and be disciples ourselves, we've got to allow people to get close to us. And if you do not have that, you need to start praying about that, about who those people should be, and then take some steps of trust, of risk even, to say, hey, I want to let you close into my life, and if you want, I want to be close in your life as the beginnings of being disciples together and of training one another to be disciples who make disciples. But Jesus didn't leave it at just being with him. It said he challenged them as well. There was invitation and challenge. Look at the last part of verse 14. That they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Now, if you can remember from your own reading, the gospel, the good news that Jesus preached, was the gospel of the kingdom of God. This anticipated time of God that the prophets talked about, that they so longed for, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent. in the central thread of his message, this euangelion, this evangelistic message was, the time has come, God's time to begin his reign, to begin as king. It has come with me. And so that was the message that they were to preach, the gospel of the kingdom, that this time has arrived, that there's a king, a Lord, a Messiah, Jesus. And we know that that ultimately led to Jesus going to the cross through his death, his resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of the Father. But their message was, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Messiah. In their world, that means he's king. But he sent them out to preach that there was a king, but there was a problem. Can you guess what that problem might have been? There was already a king. And usually, rulers don't like to hear the message that a new king has been born, especially one that is gaining attention. That's usually perceived as a threat to their power. So Jesus is challenging them to go out and preach, to proclaim this good news, this gospel of the kingdom in a world where that would be strongly opposed. The politics of it, the culture, that was strongly opposed, that to say that Jesus has brought the kingdom of God into this world. But he sends them out to do that. And not only to proclaim that to the people, but also to show that, like Jesus, they were given the authority over the spiritual world. And it says, might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Jesus is training them to do the things that he did, things that they had already started to observe in his life. Jesus is preparing them to do themselves, to learn to be like Jesus through being with him, but also by being challenged, by being trained to do the things that he did, which is what they did after he ascended to the Father, after his death and resurrection. Now, this message of the gospel of the kingdom that they were to proclaim, that they were sent out to preach, we know had an effect on people. So, for instance, I'm not going to take the time, but in Acts 17, when Paul takes the gospel to Thessaloniki, they get in all kinds of trouble. And one of the reasons, as they were under pressure to be arrested and thrown out, was because they are preaching that there's another king besides our king. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. And it got him into trouble. And Jesus knew that would be the case, but he's training them to take this message. He is challenging them, not just to proclaim something that was just an insider thing, but this is has ramifications for all of culture. The kingdom of God has come. Repent. Turn. But there's another aspect of how Jesus trained them and challenged them, and it's in who he chose to be with him. When we read through this list of the apostles, okay, that he chose, there are some things that ought to stand out to us as we read through the Gospels. And one was how diverse this group of people were in so many ways. Now, a lot of them from up in Galilee. But the one in particular that Jesus is engineering to be part of the training was them learning to work together as his sent ones. So when we read through those names, starting in verse 16, in verse 18, we read of Matthew, who was the tax collector, and we read of Simon the Zealot. Jesus chose two men, each other, to be intimately related to himself and to each other as the in this small group that with you human wisdom you say, I'm not going to put them together. Why not? Well, Matthew was a tax collector. He worked for the Romans, and he was hated. They were despised. They were looked upon as traitors. And so the other Jewish people would pay their taxes to the Romans, but they wouldn't pay directly to the Romans. They had Jewish tax collectors who would be the ones who would take the money and pass it on to the Romans. Now, the tax collectors were also known for being dishonest at times. They would say, you have to take this much and this much, and they'd take a little bit on the side. They'd ask for more than what they actually had to from the Romans. They would pocket it. They were hated. So here's a tax collector, and then there's Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were almost like a terrorist group or a terrorist group mentality. We're talking about Hamas and everything. These were people that were so opposed to the Roman rule in their land that they were ready to be violent if necessary in order to get them out. And Jesus chooses Matthew, the tax collector, and Simon, the zealot, to be together in his inner circle. What's going on? Part of the training for the disciples were learning to interact and live with one another, to be the church. And he deliberately, that was not by accident, put two explosive type people together so that his grace and the kingdom of God could be something that could be demonstrated in an unbelievably powerful way. So you have Jesus challenging them. He's challenging them that they communicate the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, which meant there's a Messiah, there's a king, when there was already a king in the world. That's going to cause problems. He challenged them to go out and experience that he had authority over the supernatural world, and they were going to be given that authority too through Jesus to demonstrate that through healings, through casting out demons, just as they had already seen Jesus do. And when we read through the Gospels, when we read through the book of Acts, they did what Jesus did, just as Jesus said. But he also challenged them through the group of people that together, through their interactions with one another, through rubbing each other the wrong way, through the problems, through the cultural dimension of all this, because that was also part of the challenge of being a disciple and of making disciples. So Jesus invited people to be close to him. He invited people to be near to him. And I hope you have that too, or you will do that. But he also challenged big time, challenged in a way that we would say, oh, Jesus, what are you doing? And this invitation and challenge, or nearness and challenge, is something that we need to learn to do, to embody, to want, in order to be true to our calling to make disciples. We do not exist for church program. That's a hard one to get over, particularly after the COVID time, where everybody was just happy to start worshiping. And corporate worship is important, so I'm not downplaying the importance of that at all. Not at all. I believe it's essential, and that contributes to being and making disciples. But the purpose of the church's existence is not to have worship services. It's to be and make disciples who make disciples, and the worship services obviously contribute towards that, or can contribute to that. But it's not to keep the program going. It's to make disciples who make disciples. And this invitation and challenge is something that Jesus continues to do in the life of his church. And at times it's really, really difficult. And I would like for us to watch now a video that's humorous, but also brings this clearly to the point about how challenging Jesus was. It's a story from the Gospels, has to do with Peter and Andrew, that you'll be familiar with. It's humor, and it's something that I think makes the point really strongly that being challenged by Jesus is not always easy.
Does he even know what time it is?
What?
Jesus, does he know what time it is?
I don't know. How long has he been talking?
Three days.
Someone should talk to him.
I agree. Somebody should talk to him.
I think someone should talk to him.
I'm not going to talk to
him. Well, I'm not going to talk to him.
I'm not going to do it.
Well, I'm sure not going to do it. I mean, sometimes I don't even think he speaks our language. I mean, what if I go up there and he starts talking to me in one of those preambles again? Because I don't know what he's talking about when he does that. I'm completely
parables,
lost.
Parables, Andrew. They're called parables.
Whatever. They don't make any sense. A good measure pressed down and shaken up and running out over the mustard seeds with the yeast of the Pharisees. What is that supposed to mean? The yeast of the Pharisees.
I don't know. You know what I hate? When he starts throwing around the numbers. I have a little problem with numbers. You know, you know how I am. I think he knows that. Yeah, he looks at me like I'm supposed to know this stuff. Hey, Peter, 144.
How about when he draws? You know? Somebody asks a great question.
Yeah?
And everybody's leaning forward to hear what he'll say. And he's down here doodling in the dirt.
I know.
It's embarrassing.
I know.
You know, sometimes I just want to slide up there and...
Okay, okay. I'll talk to him next time. You have to talk to him next time.
Deal. Fisherman's handshake.
Jesus? Yeah, could we talk to you for a minute? Oh, it won't take long, and then you can get right back to it. Well, see, it's just this, Lord. It's getting late, and these people have been here all day, and we were just thinking it's getting close to supper time. It might be good to send them home so they could get something to eat. Beg pardon?
What did he say?
He said we should get them something to eat.
Right. Us. There are thousands of people here. With what?
With what? We should find something. He says we should find something.
What does it mean?
I think it means we should find something.
Are you sure? You sure it's not another parable? Because he may be trying to tell us something we don't understand.
It's not a parable. He uses a different tone of voice when he speaks in parables.
Okay, so what? I'm supposed to find something? I don't have anything.
You go this way and I'll go that way. Food?
Oh, yeah. Food.
Food. Okay. We are looking for food.
Okay, anyone who's got any extra food?
Anything you
any
might
food?
Want to share? Anybody
might
have
okay,
anything?
This is
they... fantastic. Oh, fantastic.
No, I'm telling you. Oh, yeah.
You're setting what? The trend, my friend.
All right, thank you
anybody
so much. Thank you. Anything
look
else?
At this.
Anything that you might
this
have?
This is a giving group
a mint,
of people.
Gum.
Here we
oh,
go.
This is fantastic.
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
Healthy stuff. Just,
you know, even
this
those little
great.
Things that stick on your tongue.
Fantastic.
We'll take
those. Oh. We got oh,
one more, one more, one more.
Lots of stuff. Thank you so much.
Good.
What a giving group this is.
With an abundance of food. Okay.
How'd you do?
Not bad. Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, about the same.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, we got a late entry here. Okay. Thanks, Phil.
Well, the baskets are cute, but it's, you know, still not much,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we were just out there.
Yeah.
Collecting the food. What do we have?
Oh.
Well, we got some bread and a couple of fish.
Yes, yeah, boy, some gum.
Carrot sticks.
Yeah. Dum dum.
Oh, we should bless it now.
Oh yeah, well,
of course.
Of course. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Amen.
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 Amen. You want us to pass it out now? All of it? No, I didn't think it was very funny either, Lord. He wants us to make a line, and he's going to break it, and then we, you know, pass it out.
Okay, well, that shouldn't take very long.
Nope.
Wait, you go that way.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Line right here. Okay. Okay. Here you go. All right. Halfway there.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Andrew, we got bread.
We got bread.
Hey, Andrew, we got fish.
We got fish. We got fish.
Hey, keep it going.
Woo. Ah, yeah! Fish, we got fish and bread! Whoa!
Ho!
Hey, ho! Ho! Hey! Ho! Hey! Ho! Hey! Stop! 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 Stop!
People are fed up.
I don't think I could say it like that.
No, no, but look, everybody has something.
Lord, we have enough. Oh, he wants us to pick up all the leftovers in the baskets.
Yeah, I'm not even going to ask.
I wouldn't.
Okay. Coming for your leftovers.
Chicken leftovers.
I know.
Anybody
a leftover
with leftovers.
Anything
if it hasn't
eat.
Touched your lips, it can
just
go back in the basket. Leftovers. Anybody.
Very
I got a hungry group over here. Don't
very
know about
full.
You.
They're very full. Okay,
okay
this is
no
nice.
More leftovers.
Good sacrificial.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, we're all filled up, ready for two more days of teaching.
Yeah.
Let's go. Guys, bring the other baskets up here. Okay.
Okay, we are all done, Lord. How many baskets are there?
Okay.
Oh, good. Numbers. 11?
No, 12.
What?
Look, there's three rows, four baskets. Multiply.
12. There's 12, Lord. And what does that mean?
Why can't 12 just be 12?
You know, does everything have to be a teachable moment with this guy?
It's just a number, right?
I know.
Hey, wait. Peter.
Well, you got something?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, we got 12 baskets.
Yes?
There are 12 of us.
Good.
And there's 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12, 12, and 12. That's the answer. Oh, Lord. We got it over here. Over here, Lord. We got it here. You tell him.
All right, Lord, try this one on.
12 baskets.
12 baskets.
12 of us.
There are 12 of us.
12 tribes of Israel.
And there are 12 tribes of Israel. And what does that mean? Where does he think we're going to get the information to fill in these blanks?
I thought that was a good one. Okay,
so did
huddle.
I. Huddle.
Okay. We just okay. Right.
Yeah. We don't know. What? You want us to get back in the boat?
Are you going to come with us?
You'll catch up.
Does he have his own boat?
Just get in the boat.
Why are we doing this?
I'm just doing as I'm told.
Okay. I'm back in the boat. All right. Ready?
Ready.
Okay, into the boat. Row. Oh, look up ahead. We're heading into a storm.
Oh, that doesn't look good, does it?
No, it doesn't. We should turn around and go back.
I just do as I'm told. He says, pick up the bread. I pick up the bread. He says, get in the boat. I get in the boat. He says, row. I just row.
Okay, so row. Triple is rowing into a storm. I'm going to die in a storm on the lake. Lived on the lake, will die on the lake. Poetic circle of life.
Andrew.
Row! Row really fast! Go fast! Row! Go really. Row.
Hey, Andrew! Andrew!
What?
That's Jesus out there!
Oh!
He doesn't have a boat!
And he's catching up!
He's walking on the water!
Him.
No. No. Okay, Lord. You stay there.
Wait a minute, Peter. You're not actually thinking about going.
Shh.
You can't do this.
You know, Lord, I'm not so sure we should be able to be doing this.
Peter! Oh! Peter!
Thanks, Lord. Maybe we should just get back in the boat.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah. What did you think you were doing out there?
I don't know. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Did you see? I had three steps!
Yes! Lord! Get in the boat! You know, you really scared us.
How did you do that?